As we go through the book of Amos, it's in the middle of your Bible. We want all your Bibles to be open. If you don't have a Bible, we'll be happy to get you one in whatever translation you want. And so Amos was just your average Joe, I guess. Sorry, Joe, no offense. He was just your average. You're an above average. You're exceptional, Joe. But he was just your average guy, and he wasn't a prophet, he wasn't the son of a prophet, he wasn't a pastor, a priest, nothing like that. He was just a regular person like you and me that God said, hey, guess what? I'm going to call you to give a message to my people, and that's what you're going to do. And so Amos just, he was a shepherd. He was just one of the shepherds of Tekoa, and God gave him this vision to give to Israel and Judah. Now, for those of you who are just joining us, there is one more very important thing. I made a joke last week, because not a lot of people knew about the book of Amos, and how many of you knew famous Amos? And everybody raised their hand. So here's what somebody did. They were kind enough to bring in a case of famous Amos cookies. Would you mind taking them that way? Would you guys mind? And just if anybody wants a thing of chocolate chip cookies, as we go, you are welcome to grab one until they're gone. I forgot to give that away. Thank you. Nobody's allowed to crash during my Bible teaching, though. See, I should have done that earlier. Now you guys aren't paying attention. You're into the cookies. I should have thought it through. All right. Well, I'm going to recap for 1 minute while you guys are handing out those cookies. Okay, so here's the deal. If you remember during this time, God's people were divided. They were a kingdom divided. Okay, if you remember, there was Israel in the north. Right, this is after David, after Solomon. Judah was in the south. Most of the tribes were up north. Only a few tribes were down south in Judah. And the kingdom was divided. Israel in the north had all wicked kings. In other words, they had folks that led them that didn't want to follow the Lord. They were not good shepherds. They were not godly men. And so they were selfish, wicked kings. And the folks in the south in Judah, they had some good kings, but honestly, not very many. Okay? So if you guys are just joining us, the temple was where you worship the Lord. God said, this is where I want you to worship me, was located in the south of Judah. And the folks in Israel were like, we don't want everybody going to Judah to worship the Lord because we want them to stay up here. So we're just going to set up two areas, one in Dan, one in Bethel, and we're going to have them worship God there. We don't need to do it God's way. They can worship God right here. And they made a bull. Why they did a bull, it's just a symbol of power and fertility and blessing. So you can just worship God the way you want to worship God, not the way he says. Don't worry about it. Worship, we don't go down to Judah. And it was a time of prosperity. Normally, Egypt was attacking them from the south, Assyria from the north. But right now, using my exceptional graphics, this divided kingdom was very, very prosperous. It was kind of a time for peace. So they thought that they were doing great. And in chapter 1, this vision that God had given Amos, what he was doing was he was talking to all the Gentile nations, like almost like in a circle all around Israel. And he was saying, man, you guys aren't following the Lord. You're not listening to his teachings. You're not listening to the prophecies. You're not caring about God. You're not caring about others. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And it's getting closer, but what's happening is it's going into a little bullseye, and it's going to end up right in Israel and Judah too, not just the Gentile nations. So he's already rebuked a bunch of these Gentile nations, And in chapter 2, it starts us off. And it says in Amos chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says this. It says, "This is what the Lord says. For three sins of Moab, even for four, I will not relent, because he burned to ashes the bones of Edom's king. I will send fire on Moab that will consume the fortress of Kirath. Moab will go down in tumult amid war cries and the blast of the trumpet. I will destroy her ruler and kill the officials with him, says the Lord." So that's a pretty harsh judgment. Now, for those of you who were here last week, you remember when it says, "For three sins, even for four, I will not relent." It's not a saying that we would recognize today. It's a Jewish idiom, or it was a Jewish saying back in those days, like saying for us, "It's raining cats and dogs." It doesn't mean that there's literal cats and dogs, meow, 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 raining outside. It means there's a deluge, an immeasurable amount of rain coming down. And so what God was saying was that the people, and they knew it, that the people had sinned and rebelled against God an innumerable amount of times, and that it had finally come to an end and judgment was coming. And so it was a pretty terrible, I can imagine poor Amos like, "I don't want to say this." You know, sometimes when you walk with the Lord, he's going to ask you to say and do things that are out of your comfort zone. "Well, I'm a quiet person. I don't want to talk. I'm a good speaker, but I don't want to get up and speak in front of people." "Well, you need to do it anyway." "Well, I'll do it once in a while, but I don't want to do it every week." "Oh, you're doing it every week." It's not about what we want. It's about what God wants. Does that make sense? And we have to change our hearts to go in line with what he wants. Does that make sense, everyone? Okay, so here we go. And it says, this is for those of you who weren't here last week, this is the last of the six judgments on the Gentile nations around Israel. Now, the Moabites were against God's people. And what God was doing all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 and 4, when God was leading his people out of slavery into Egypt, right? Moab, and they were like, "Oh, we just need some help. We need some bread and some water. We're dying out here." They're like, "You know what? Sayonara." They're like, "We're not going to help you at all. We don't care about you. Die." And so they offered no help. And then later, they enticed a guy by the name of Balaam, the prophet. Anybody heard of Balaam? Okay, a few of you. All right. Balaam, the prophet, to try to curse Israel. But that failed. Now, Moab later implemented other devious plans, really sneaky. They're like, "Okay, if they're going to worship this God and we can't get him to stop and we can't get him to be cursed, let's send our women in to seduce God's people into idolatry, right? We'll seduce all the males, the guys that are worshiping God into just worshiping idols, because they'll want the women." And it actually worked, sadly to say. Those guys were weak. It was a bummer. Anyway, so interestingly enough, God warned Moab through others as well. Just so you don't think this is like God's like, "Oh, it's been 2 seconds and I'm bringing the hammer." He warned them in Isaiah 15 and 16. You can look at that for yourself. Jeremiah 48, Ezekiel 25, 8 through 11, Zephaniah 2, 8 through 11. And finally, the Assyrians or Babylonians came in, fulfilled this judgment, and the nation of Moab disappeared from history completely. Now, somebody asked, "Well, then how do you even know that Moab even existed?" Well, there's a lot of historical evidence. And I don't know if you guys like this. I do. So I'm going to throw one in there just because I like it. And there's a couple of you that like the same thing. But for those of you, this right here, if you don't know, this is the Misha Steele. This is on historical display in the Louvre Museum in Paris. That's the largest art and history museum in the entire world. And it describes the king of Moab's wars against the Israelites in approximately 840 BC. And there's lots of other historical evidence, just so you're aware. I just think that kind of stuff is cool. Now, when God is warning all these nations and saying, "Hey, I'm bringing down the hammer, judgment is coming," and you're like, "Wow, this is," and then nations disappear or nations rise up, you know, I don't get all stressed out about it, because I trust the Lord. What you have to realize that we serve a sovereign God, and it's all moving towards an end. And nations will rise up, some for judgment, some for nations will be disposed. And listen, history is really his story. from beginning to end. And so he's going to do what he's going to do in his timetable, not ours. And Acts 17:26 says, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and even the boundaries of their lands. Interesting, don't you think? Well, anyway, so now we're coming full circle. Now he's rebuking all these Gentile pagan nations, and I can just see the Jewish people, God's people going, yeah, those pagans, get them, Lord, sock it to them, right? And now we run into some trouble as they realize, oh, wait a minute, you're going to judge us too? Oh, no, we don't like that part. You know, sometimes I watch a lot of Christians, especially the legalistic ones, or the ones that are a little prideful. They're really quick to say, sinner! And point out your sin, and really a little bit less quick to notice the sin in their own heart and lives. Right? Did you ever notice that? So listen, this is kind of what's going to happen here in Judah. And he says in verse 4, he says, this is what the Lord says for the sins of Judah. Even for 4, I will not relent. So he's using that same saying again. And he says, because they have rejected the law of the Lord. Remember, this is his people. Right? It's good to see you, Kim. Because they've rejected the law of the Lord, because they have not kept my decrees, because they have been led astray by false god, the gods that their ancestors followed, right? He's like, I will send fire on Judah that will consume the fortress of Jerusalem. So listen, in you got all these Gentile pagan nations, and everybody's probably super happy they're getting rebuked by Amos, and they're happy. Because in their minds, they thought that they saw the Gentiles as like dogs. Oh, sinners. It's just we're so holy. Yeah. They didn't see it as like, oh, we're just sinners too, saved by the grace of God. That's how we should see ourselves, right?
Yep.
I am just thankful. I'm a sinner. Okay. You're a pastor. I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, hallelujah, Flo, right? So, anyways, they're going to be thinking, oh, these pagans got what they deserved. But now that rejoicing is going to turn to dread when they realize that they're also going to be judged along with them. They didn't expect that. And so many times it's easier for us to do that, to point out and condemn unbelievers, than for believers to look at their own sin and to address that. But I'll tell you what, it's humbling to look at your own sin. It really stinks, but it's the best thing you could ever do. And so anyway, like the Pharisees in Jesus' day, there was plenty of religious sacrifices, activity, and talk, but they had missed the heart of God. Do you remember Jesus had talked to the people and in his day, and he says, hey, you guys honor me with your lips. You're all about hallelujah, amen, praise God, but your hearts are far from me, right? You're doing all these sacrifices, you're doing all this activity, all this religious stuff, but you're missing the whole heart. You're missing the heart of obedience, right? He called them whitewashed tombs. They looked real pretty on the outside, but on the inside, there were dead man's bones. And it was pretty sad. And it was just like that back then with Judah. Now remember, these are his people. They've seen miracles. There's prophets speaking. I mean, the Holy God is working. The Holy Spirit's actively speaking. And they rejected his law and not kept his decrees and led astray by false gods. And it says, and have not kept, or some say neglect. Some of your translations might say neglect his decrees. It's pretty sad. So that's a good question for you and me. It's a good question for us to ask. You know, they rejected, neglected God's word, and they were led astray because of it. So here's a question that I can't answer for you. How about you? Are you neglecting God's word? In an age of, I can pick up my phone and look at an Insta anytime, or a YouTube short, or a news, or a anytime I want. I can distract myself in a million ways. I've got my video game, I got my TV, my Netflix, Are you rejecting or neglecting God's word? Because if you choose to do that, let me tell you, you're going to be led astray. Think about that. Yes, do you have something to say? I don't know where the microphone is. Pastor Gary, do you have it? Okay, thank you, buddy. Yeah. If you have a question or if you have a comment, you're welcome to do that while I get a drink of my buy drink. Hello?
Yeah. Well, the most important things that I want to bring attention to is, you know, when they were warned, you know, you also had moments where you had the Ninevites, who were practically part of Assyria, you know, coming forth into repentance. So do you think this is also an example, even though God is saying judgment is coming, do you think he still is giving them an example?
Absolutely. I think God is repeatedly speaking to them continually, and I just don't think they're listening.
I know.
And there comes a point, and if you're a Christian, there comes a time where God will correct you and even rebuke you, and those are not fun things. So I would encourage you to correct, humble yourselves before the King of the universe decides to humble you. Okay? So listen, these people rejected the law of the Lord, have not kept his decrees, and then were led astray by false gods because of it, idols because of it. So the first thing is God's word rejected. Here, we're going to try this. We're going to see if this works. I made a new PowerPoint with the video. We're going to see if it works in just 7 minutes. Let's see. Ready? Here we go. Let's see if it works. Okay. All right. It didn't come. Yes. So here's the bottom line. The font might not be right, but thank you, George, for getting up and running. Proverbs 28:4 says, listen, to reject the law of the Lord is to praise the wicked. Think about that. Ouch. Oh, God, you say this, but I don't want to do that. Your flesh doesn't want it. Listen, your flesh doesn't want to obey God. It doesn't. You know what you got to do? Bend the knee anyway. Listen, it says to obey the law of God is to fight for them. Wow, that's cool. Or excuse me, is to fight them. So listen, don't be like this girl who's like, to reject the law of the Lord, a loser. Right? To reject the law of the Lord, you're praising the wicked. But to obey the law of the Lord is to fight against the wicked for God. You could be a fighter for God, right? So we don't want to reject God's word. As Christians, we also don't want to neglect God's word, right? So I see this, and I see, what do you notice about the picture? Got a little dust on the Bible. Yeah, I think all that on there is dust from lack of use. And it says, read me. I bet you every person here has a Bible, probably multiple Bibles, in your house, right? If you don't, come ask us. We will gift it to you in Jesus' name. How many times does that Bible get opened? How many times does that Bible get read? Now, I look at it on my phone now because it's quicker, and I'm on that quicker. And I try to do that first, because if I don't, I just think, oh, I'll just put it off till after the blah, blah, blah. And the blah, blah, blah never comes, and then it's the next day. So start off. It says in this is really important, in Psalm 119, 15 to 16, I will meditate on your precepts. That word in Hebrew is to think about it. I'll chew on it. I'll mull it over in my mind. I'll meditate on your precepts. I'll consider your ways. I won't just, I'm going to read the pastor said to read a chapter a day, so I'm going to read a chapter. Maybe I'll read a psalm. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, bye. No, I'm going to think about that. I wonder if God is trying to speak something to me today. And so I'm going to meditate on your precepts. I'm going to consider your ways. And then it says, listen, God's commands aren't burdensome. This is what sometimes, listen, you've thought this way, and sometimes I've thought this way. Sometimes I'm like, dang, I wish God's word didn't. Oh, what a hassle, right? But really, 99% of 100% of the time, these commands are for your good or for the good of others. He's trying to help you. He's trying to direct you, right? He's trying to protect you. Whatever the case may be, he's trying to get you to where you need to be. Whatever it is, they're for your benefit. They're like guardrails on a curvy road up in the mountains. Have you ever driven in the mountains of Tennessee? Anybody? Oh man, I don't know if this is because I'm getting older, but it can be a little scary. You drive 75, and it's like a bottomless cliff, you know, right by a semi, right by a two-laner. You know, I'm glad they have the guardrails there, you know, and so you want to be right in the center of those guardrails, right? So, yes, if you have the microphone, because the people at home will want to hear. Thanks.
I'm just noticing that Bible is both well-read and dusty. Mm. So our Christian life, like, there are times when we're going through the richness of God and enjoying His Word, but then something happens that just kind of distracts us or depresses us or just pulls us away for a while.
100%.
So just get back to it. That's all I want to say.
Yes, great word. And you know what? It can happen to everybody. It happens to me. It happens to Pastor Gary. It'll happen to you too. So the bottom line is, this is the Lord maybe saying, hey, this is you. So don't reject my word. I'm trying to speak something to you. Don't reject it. Don't say no. Don't say, I want to obey God in everything that I want to do. I want to worship here, not in Judah. I want to worship this way, not that way. I want to obey these commandments and not this one. This is not a McDonald's where you, or Burger King. Have it your way with the Lord. No, it's you have it His way, or you can take the highway. So, and that highway, I didn't say it. I was going to sing it, but it came to mind, but I didn't. So the bottom line is, it goes to a bad place. So the bottom line is, I will delight in your decrees. Thank you, Lord. I remember it's for my good. It's not, my flesh wants what I want, but I'm going to, and it says, I will not neglect your word. That's how you become a strong Christian, right? And if anybody wants devotionals, we'll even give you one. I've got a devotional right here. This is an easy to understand New Century Version. This is through the whole New Testament, right? We'll take you through the New Testament. One day, 5 days a week is a devotional. All right. With little comments from folks like Billy Graham and Beth Moore and stuff. So we don't want to reject His word. We don't want to neglect His word. But also, no word equals us being led astray. You have, whether you realize it or not, you have a constant deluge of misinformation and traps set for you by the enemy, purposely trying to lead you the wrong way. Yet God is trying to put you on the right path, right? So no word means you're going to be easier to be led astray, deceived, tricked, whatever. And He is roaring like a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour you, right? And so 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, look, but I'm afraid, this is Paul saying this to the Christians in his day. He goes, I don't want you to be deceived by the serpent's cunning, that your minds maybe somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That's our heart for you. Listen, anybody can be led astray. I've seen pastors that really love the fall and this and that. It can happen to anyone. We're all equal. So we need to draw close to God's word and close to the herd. Does that make sense? Okay, listen. This is in 2 Peter 3:17, right? It says, what do I do, Pastor? What do I do so I'm not led astray? Well, the Bible says, therefore, dear friends, you've been forewarned. Listen, the Bible's telling you. Your friend Pastor D is telling you right now. He says, be on your guard. Or some of your translations say it a little bit better, a little stronger. I think it's King James. It's like, beware. I like that. Be on your guard. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led astray with the error of the wicked. Listen, we've got even, that's why we go through book by book, verse by verse here, not because it's easier, it's actually harder, but so that you'll understand the whole counsel of God, so you will be less likely to be led astray by teachers that teach what their itching ears want to hear. Does that make sense? Okay. Well, I guess I got to speed it up a bit. How long?
30
minutes. Right, okay. So Amos 2, 6 through 7 continues. And he's talking about oppression. Listen, the people of Judah were, man, if the people in Israel in the north were doing pagan stuff, right, and they shouldn't be worshiping calves and stuff, right? The people in the south were acting all religious, legalistic, right? So they were putting on a show, almost like a hypocrite would, where you're putting on a show where you're trying to be all super spiritual, right? But behind the scenes, you're doing a lot of stuff, and that's what they're doing. It says, this is what the Lord says for three sins of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. They sell the innocent for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trample on the heads of the poor as the dust on the ground. They're not even worth that. They're just like the dirt to them, right? That's pride. That's, and it says, and they deny justice to the oppressed. And father and son use the same girl and so profane my holy name. So at this time, Israel and Judah, like I said earlier, were experiencing a time of prosperity. The Jews would have said, oh, see, we're being blessed. We can sin however we want. God's turning a blind eye because he's not bringing down the hammer. But God's being patient with them, not like he is with us, not wanting any of us to perish. Can I just tell you something? I didn't get saved till I was almost 30. So just a year or two ago. There's no reason to laugh. It's kind of hurtful. It got me hurting me right here. But the bottom line, right? So here we go. I thought I was okay, and they thought they were okay, and I went to church. I did this religious stuff, but anyway, they would interpret it as God's blessing. He's slow to anger and abounding in love, it says, but it also says that he will punish sin. Listen, he's going to deal with it. Just because he's not dealing with it at this second, don't think you're getting away with it. Okay? You're not. I might not know, but he knows. And let me tell you, as someone who has been corrected many... I hope I say this. I don't even know. Lord, tell me not to. Oh, it's such a good illustration. No. If he's telling me not to, yeah. But I'll just obey. But the bottom line is, as someone who's been corrected by the Lord and even rebuked a couple times, I don't want that. So listen. He's going to do that. He's going to punish sin. Now, the people were living on Easy Street right now, so they chose to ignore instead of address the warnings about their sin, right? How about you? Another question. Just always bring it back to you. How about me? How about us? Are you ignoring the warnings that God is continually giving you? Do you know why he's getting... Oh, I don't know why the pastor keeps bringing that up. He probably knows. I can't tell you how many people have gotten mad at me over stuff I've said, thinking that I've said it just for, yeah. Right? I don't even know, just what God gave me. But sometimes the Lord does give me a, and I'll tell somebody that. I had people that I love dearly, and they hate me for it because they didn't want to hear what I had to say. I try to say it lovingly, kindly, humbly, but truthfully. So don't do what they did and ignore instead of address those warnings that God's given you about your sin, because the hammer will come down eventually, and I don't want that for you, and God doesn't want that for you. Okay? Capiche? And it says he's selling the innocent, or trampling the poor. He's just talking about the oppressed. And the prosperous, they were taking advantage of the poor at this time. And they were using their power along with bribing judges and corrupt judges to get their way, to squeeze blood from a turnip, to force those who couldn't pay their bills into slavery, even if it was over a pair of sandals, right? They didn't even need the sandals. Instead of helping them or forgiving them, or they condemned them and just grinded them into dust. And sexual immorality, Bible scholars, was that their a wife or a temple cult prostitute? We don't know, but either way, the answer is no, we shouldn't be doing that. Listen, this is what God's word says to us in where did I put it up there? Jeremiah 22:3. He says, this is what the Lord says, right? When it comes to the oppressed, right? Here's what we're supposed to be doing. Do what is just and right as God's people. Specifically, you're to do what's just and to do what's right, right? Doesn't mean you can't hold users accountable, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to give money to somebody that I know is going to go buy booze with it. No, I'm going to be wise. Can I get you food? I've went up to many people, said, hey, can I have money? I need some of my home. I'm broken. I need our family. We just need food. I need cash. I'm like, dude, I'll go buy you some food if you want it, but I'm not going to give you cash, right? Do you really want it? Nah, I was going to use it for booze, but yeah. Okay. And then some people say, you know what? Yeah, I really love some food. But the bottom line is, do what's just and what's right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to a foreigner, right? The fatherless or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place, is what the scripture says. Listen, even more than that, this is a doozy. Whoever oppresses the poor insults his maker. Listen, you don't need to squeeze people under your thumb, right? You can hold them accountable, correct? But you don't need to grind them into the dust, right? Whoever oppresses the poor, God says, insults his maker. But whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Isn't that great? That's Proverbs 14:31. And what about if you're being oppressed? Maybe you're the one that's being oppressed right now, whether spiritually or physically. I got good news for you. The Lord is that stronghold for you, for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble, and you can run into it and be saved, right? Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's Psalm 9:9. Amos 2:8 continues, and it says, they lay down beside the very altar on garments taken in pledge in the house of their God. They drink wine taken as fines. I didn't know what that meant. Okay, it didn't make sense to me. So I got the Message, which is more like a paraphrase, or the New Living Translation. Sometimes I like that too. But anyway, it helped me, so I've got it up here. It says, stuff they've extorted from the poor is piled up in the shrine of their little g god, while they sit around drinking wine that they've conned from their victims. Does that explain it a little bit more? That's why God's bringing the hammer down. That's how these people are being taken advantage of, used, extorted.
Where did you get that
from? That's the Message.
Is that the name?
What?
Huh?
A Message is a translation.
Oh.
Yeah. It's more of like a paraphrase, but it helps me to explain it. So God showed Amos that the people, that those people who are rich and powerful, right, they would even take the outer garment of the poor as almost like a down payment, as debtor's collateral. Now, for a poor person, listen, you're like, what's the big deal about an outer garment? But for a poor person, that's all he's got. And picture something thick and heavy, and they would use that as a mat for a bed. So basically, this is their bed that they sleep in. This is their blanket when it gets cold. And it gets cold in Israel. You wouldn't think, but it does. It gets cold. This is their blanket for them to sleep in. This is to keep them, protect them from the sun. They're even taking that from them. It was pretty terrible. And it was so important to a poor person that God said it had to be returned before sundown if you took it in a pledge. It says that in Exodus 22, 26, and 27. It says, if you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. It says, for that is the only covering. It is his garment and his skin. What will he sleep in? And it will be that when he cries to me, I will hear, for I am gracious. So the prophecy of Amos showed that God heard the cry of the oppressed in Israel and would bring judgment against it. Right? Not only that, they would get drunk at their pagan altars and their fines they got from the poor, right? And they defile those precious garments on the altars of their gods. It's just bad stuff, right? So it continues, and this is in Amos 2, 9 to 10. Yet I destroyed the Amorites before them, though they were tall as cedars and as strong as oaks. I destroyed their fruit and their roots below. He goes on to say in those verses, in verse 10, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to give you the land of the Amorites. And so God is reminding Israel both his power and his faithfulness to them. Just to, again, I think that he's trying to call them back. Stop, repent. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. But you guys, if you don't, it's going to happen. When God freed his people from slavery in Egypt, they first came to the promised land. They were afraid of these mighty nations like the Amorites, right? Yet God led them, protected them, and gave them victory over their enemies, the Amorites, right? And now they're enslaving their own people and rejecting his words, his ways, himself, after God had done so much for them. It's really sad. And it's really sad when I watch, it's sometimes I can be selfish in this way too. God has done so much for you. Have you ever thought about what you would be without God? Let me tell you. You know what? I'm not going to tell you. Let's just say I would be T for terrible. That's what I'd be without God. It's just the truth. So, in these last verses in Amos 2, 11, 12, just goes on and says, I also raised up prophets from among your own children and Nazarites from your own youth. Is this not true, people of Israel? I'm working amongst you. Isn't this cool? But you made the Nazarites drink wine and commanded the prophets not to prophesy. So God's reminding them, Israel, of what awesome privilege they've been given working together with him. Supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit. And they're blowing it. They're not only blowing it, but instead of being incredibly thankful and obedient to him, Lord, I'm so thankful. Oh, God, what can I do to obey? How can I? They rejected him, his gifts, his word, and they even told his prophets, we don't even want to hear you. I don't want to hear the truth from you anymore. Just stop it. And why did they tell them not to prophesy? Why do you think? What? They didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't like the look in the mirror. You know what? One thing about... Lord, somebody else say that too. Darn it. Okay. Next. Number 6 also tells us, in case you don't know, a Nazarite vow was a special dedication to the Lord that included no alcohol, and it was rewarded with a deeper walk with God. And so God was calling some of these Nazarites, right, from among their youth and giving them a deeper walk with God, and they even caused them to sin and to drink. Interesting. Amos 2, 13 to 14 says, now, after all this, I will crush you as a cart crushes when loaded with grain. The swift will not escape, the strong will not muster their strength, and the warrior will not save its life. It's pretty harsh. Amos ends this message by pronouncing judgment on Israel. And it's a doozy. It's terrifying. Because they crushed the people on account of their rebellion to God and account of their own selfishness, right? And because of that, Israel themselves would now be crushed by their own sins. Just as a loaded cart crushed whatever it rolled over, and there would be no escape. And Assyria would fulfill that prophecy in Israel as they invaded in 720 AD. Yes.
It's pretty hard to find poor people anymore because these people you see on the street begging for money.
Yes.
Are they really begging for money, or are they buying drugs? When I was working,
yes.
I used to go inside people's houses when you see
yes.
the poverty.
Yes. Well, here's
the elderly women.
Yeah.
That live alone.
Yes. I know it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, Jim. I know what you're saying. I can hear you. So here's what I would say to that. If if you're unsure, I don't want you also to be unsafe. And so if you're giving to the poor, if you see one of these guys, again, this is just a personal thing. I don't offer money unless God tells me specifically. I say, hey, can I buy you some food? Can I buy you a drink? I'll take my time if you really want that. And 9 out of 10 times, they'll tell me, yes, I really do, or no, I don't. Now, I will also say, if there are actually a lot of folks that are struggling, some because they've made just bad choices and continue to make them, and some because they just really need help. So if you want to help, talk to Pastor Gary. We're helping people all the time. We just don't brag about it because we do it all in Jesus' name. So if you want to give and you don't know who to give to, talk to Pastor Gary and we can help you there, okay? So in the last verses, as we close out, Amos 2, 15 and 16, it says, the archer will not stand his ground, the fleet-footed soldier will not get away, and the horseman will not save his life. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked on that day, declares the Lord. And so what can we do? Listen, when God brings in that judgment, there's no escaping it. It's going to be too late. So what do we do? The first thing is, listen, this is what I would recommend. Remember what the Lord has done for you. Listen, some of you have forgotten or you've put too much stuff in your eyes and your mind. Right? Listen, you've done it, I've done it. Remember what God has done for you when you're feeling weak, Barbara. When you're feeling ashamed, Don. When you're feeling insecure, Elijah. When you're feeling, I can't be helped, Sarah. When you're feeling overwhelmed, Ed. Right? You know what? Let me remember what the Lord did. And then, you know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Start recycling in your mind what God has done for you in the past. If you're like me, and I'm not saying you are, maybe it's good that you're not, I could have people say 20 good things to me. I could have people say 50 good things to me, and they all encourage me. But the 51st thing, which is a negative zinger, straight, it's a sucker punch. Let's just put it that way. And that's what, so purposely, take every thought captive. Think about, remember, thank the Lord purposely. And whatever you do, listen, this is what it says in Colossians 3:17 in the New King James Version. It says, and whatever you do, right? Everything, right? In word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right? You know what? And then he says, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Right? Whatever I do, when I talk to you, okay, I'm not mad at you, but I'm just going to use, I'm using it. I should have picked somebody that I knew better so I can say these things. But, right, if I'm mad at you, I am so, and I'm going to speak to you, do you know what? I need to try, Lord, help me to speak like God would speak. Now, I have to replay that in my mind because in the moment, I don't want to speak to you like God speaks to you. You're a jerk. Right? Right? And so, sorry, no offense. So, if you screw up, you ask forgiveness from the Lord. You ask forgiveness. Okay, God, help me. You know, and honestly, sometimes it's better even to be silent. You know, if you can't say anything, be quiet. You know, shut up. You know? But in whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all for the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. Right? So that's one thing you can do. Remember and give thanks to him in everything. Number two, these are the last few things and we're leaving and then we can go to the baptism. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That word dwell means to be at home at in your heart, right? Let the word of Christ dwell richly. I don't know if you can see that picture I've got here for it. It's a tree planted by streams of living water into the Bible, growing deep, right? Folks are playing on the tree because those roots grow deep. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's I'm going to dwell, the word of God dwell in me richly, and then I'm going to teach you. You know why? Because I want you to teach him so that he can be an example to her. And then she can be a blessing to him. And so on and so forth. That's how it works. Right? So be thankful. Remember, be thankful so that you don't fall in that same trap. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so you won't be led astray. And then these last two things, folks, and we'll close with this. Don't love this world or the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. This world is meant to take you away from God. Everything it has, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all comes, it's all about me, 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 right? And that comes from the enemy, right? So don't love the world, right? And whatever it offers you. And then as the last two things I would remember is this. 1 John 1:9 says, I'm going to go back one. If we confess our sins, if you realize, man, I have screwing up. I'm picking and choosing what I want from God. I'm just like the Israelites. I'm worshiping how I want to worship instead of how he says to worship. He says, first, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from a little bit of unrighteousness. Oh. And that word confess, if you care, the Greek word is homologeo, if I remember correctly. Homologeo. And when it says confess, it doesn't mean to give words. It means actually to be in agreement with, to say, okay, I want to stop it, God. I'm agreeing with you. You're right. I'm wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. The answer is no. I'm rejecting it. Does that make sense? And then finally, the last thing is to remember, says that for the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with the household of God. So you can do it two ways. You can either stay in the darkness and let the Lord rebuke the snot out of you, which I don't recommend. Or, you know what? You can humble yourself. You can choose his way over your own way. And then you can watch God open up a beautiful direction for you to go and to walk in. And that's what I would encourage you this day. Does that make sense? All right. Well, let's pray, and then let's go out for the baptism and have a blessed time there. I'm so excited to be baptizing these folks. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you that you can teach us in you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord God. Your word is God-inspired, God-breathed, all of it, Lord God. And we thank you for the book of Amos. And yes, it's hard, and yes, there's a lot of judgment in there, but maybe there's some things in our life that we need to make sure that we need to get right. And so, Lord, we're just asking for your help in doing that. We're asking for your strength to overcome any sin that has entangled us or anything that hinders us, Lord God. We ask for healing, for reparation for those people who need healing, reparation of hearts, Lord God. Conviction for those who need conviction, Lord God. And if there's anyone here, Lord, who is being led astray, Lord, I pray you would bring them back, stir them up to love and good deeds, bring them back to your heart, your word, and to your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And for those who don't know you, Lord, I pray today would be the day that they would say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus. I know I'm a sinner. I know you died and rose again from the dead for me, Lord God. And I want that new life. I need you. I need the power of your Holy Spirit in my heart, Lord God, to live a life that you want me to live. Lord, I confess my sins to you. I ask that you would come into my heart and life and make me a Christian. I receive whatever you have for me, Lord. I don't even understand all of it, but I receive you, Lord. And everything you have, make me new in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would do it, Lord. Bless every person here and especially those getting baptized today, Lord. Protect them, encourage them, and help us all to get there, whoever you want there, in Jesus Christ's name. All God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a great week in Jesus' name. We'll see you at the baptism.